Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Good to have those of you that are visiting with us. We have lots of visitors, and we're glad that you're here.
Looks like it may be one of those not PowerPoint days, but we'll see. Some of you that are younger may not remember the time when you could have a sermon without PowerPoint, but
people used to use chalkboards, they used flannel graphs, they used overheads, and now we've got PowerPoint.
I want to talk about this morning, what is the Church of Christ? You may think that you know the answer to that question, but sometimes it's good to review these things. It is reported that Vince Lombardi, a legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, he started each spring training with the players that have been playing the sport for years. You know, of course, they've been playing at high school and college, and now professionally, and he holds up a football. He says, "Men, this is a football." Well, that seems kind of silly, doesn't it? But, you know, he understood that, you know, growth and success and learning processes, you know, sometimes those things have to begin with the basics. So he would start off spring training and going back to the basics. And, you know, sometimes spiritual growth and spiritual success are no different. Sometimes we make assumptions that we remember something. Sometimes we assume that other people know things. And sometimes it's good to review those basics. And I think that's true in business many times when we're going through training to review things. It's certainly true in many walks of our life. So we want to talk about that this morning. Ignoring basics is really akin to forgetting basics. And when Christians that are members of Christ's church neglect basics about the church, then they forget what it is. And or they, you know, they misrepresent it or misunderstand it and don't speak about it correctly. So it's good for us to remind ourselves about these basics of the church. I know most people in here can relate to what a football is. And I imagine if we ask right now what is the church or what is the church of Christ, you know, would we know as much about what that is as we know what a football is? I hope that we would. But we want to look at this phrase, the Church of Christ. What is the Church of Christ? We want to first look at the meaning. And those of you that don't like grammar, I'm afraid we're going to go through a little bit of grammar here. But it won't take long. So we want to first look at the grammatical use of this phrase. To my knowledge, the phrase Church of Christ, or a variation of that, is really only used once in the Scriptures, and it's in Romans 16, verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. And so here, you know, Paul is saying to the Roman brethren, the churches of Christ salute you, or they greet you. And so grammatically speaking here, you know, the churches of Christ is a phrase. It's a noun phrase. And in this context here, it's used as the subject of a sentence. And this phrase is made up of a couple of distinct parts that we want to dissect here. Churches is a noun in this phrase. And so this word church, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and probably many of you have heard that word before. The word ekklesia is a word that means called out. And it is used in the Bible to refer to assemblies. And it may be an assembly that's not an assembly of Christians. For example, the reading that was read this morning in Acts chapter 19, Luke used this phrase to describe the Ephesians that were rioting. And so they were called an ekklesia. It was a group. It was an assembly. They were called out. And so basically this term just means a grouping of people. But it is when you associate this word ekklesia with the word of Christ that it really means something to us. An assembly can be just about anything, any grouping of people, but when we talk about an assembly of Christ or an ecclesia of Christ, you know, that's important. So the term of Christ, it denotes ownership. And this term here, for you English people, it's a prepositional phrase acting as an adjective in this case. So it is modifying the noun Christ. And so that's telling us, who is this group of people? Who is this grouping of people? It is of, which is a preposition. It's referring back to, Christ is modifying church or ecclesia. And so what it means is that this phrase could be accurately rendered Christ church. That's what it is. It's a group of Christ. It's a group. It is Christ church. And so in Romans 16:16, this phrase denotes a group of people or groups of people that belong to Christ. And so when we talk about this in the singular, a church of Christ, we're talking about a group of people that belongs to Christ. And so really that's what the word means. And we'll talk some about what the word doesn't mean in a few minutes. So a couple of things that this phrase can reference. What can this phrase refer to? Again, Romans 16:16 is the only place that we can see this phrase used in the Bible. And you can cross-reference it to other phrases that refer to the same groups of people, and it can kind of be used interchangeably with this. And so when we see this, we see that this phrase can be used a couple of different ways. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Jesus is predicting what's going to happen, he says, "I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Of course, this is when Peter had made that confession that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and it was upon that phrase, upon that statement that Peter made, that Jesus makes the statement that what you're saying, Peter, is foundational. And upon that foundational, not upon you, Peter, but upon what you said, I'm going to build my church. And so Jesus uses this term. He promised to build his church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, this was referenced at the end of our Bible class, this morning, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 says, "He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And also in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, we see that Jesus promised to build his church. Jesus tells us that this church is his body, and Christ is the head of this body. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, it demonstrates that this one church is a group of people who have become of Christ and are growing in the Lord and fulfilling various roles in that group. So let's read Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and then I'll read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, because this gives us some information about what this church is. And so here, understand that what we are talking about in reference to this group or this church is a universal group. It's everybody that belongs to Christ. Ephesians 2:19. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So it's very clear here that Jesus is the head of the church and all those that are part of that are part of Christ, and that there is some structure there. That Christ is the head, and that there is a foundation that's been laid by the apostles and prophets who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell us everything that we're reading here, everything that we need to know about the church. And if you skip over to Ephesians chapter 4, there's more clarity given to this foundation and the way that the body of Christ operates. Chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, being joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with each part working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we read about those that the Lord added to the number day by day, those who were being saved. So what we find out about the universal church, everybody that is part of the body of Christ, that when someone is saved, that they are added to this group. And so this term, Church of Christ, when it is used in a universal sense, it refers to all the saved, everywhere, and all time. And so when somebody comes up with a question about, well, who are the saved? Well, the saved are those that are in the body of Christ. The saved are those that are in the Church of Christ. Well, sometimes that brings up controversy. In fact, you know, when I was working at EBSCO, I had somebody, you know, constantly like to introduce me to people, and he would say, you know, I want you to meet Randy. He's a member of that church, and they think that they're the only ones that are going to be saved. In fact, when you go to heaven and Peter's giving you a tour of heaven, he's going to point to that group over there and you're going to ask, who is that? And he's going to say, that's the Church of Christ. They think they're the only ones up here. Well, what I just read to you about the Church of Christ, is the Church of Christ going to be the only ones? When you refer to the church universal as the body of Christ, yes, that's not what a lot of people are thinking when they think about that question. They're thinking of it in a denominational way, which we'll say more about in a minute. But when you understand what the church is, it is a group that is called out, that is connected with Christ. If you're disconnected from Christ, then you're not going to be saved. So the Church of Christ, universal, is the saved. You're either saved or you're not. And so, do you need to be a member of the Church of Christ, universal, to be saved? Absolutely you do, if you believe what the Bible teaches on that subject. So this phrase, Church of Christ, is used in a universal way. But also the phrase, Church of Christ, is used in a more restricted way. You know, referring to a group of people in a specific location. We have a church here at Elliottsville, which at one time used to be a city, I guess. A lot of people ask, well, where is Elliottsville? Well, it's really not. It's Alabaster. But it is an area that was once called Elliottsville. We have the Elliottsville Assembly here. And so when we refer to the church, sometimes we refer to it in a specific geographical location for those who assembled together for the purpose of serving God and doing His work. Romans 16, verse 16 is used in that way, as we've already referenced. We have considered that there's only one universal church, so when Paul says the churches of Christ, plural, salute you, well, what does Paul mean by that? Well, he's speaking of the local groups who belong to Christ. He's addressed two Corinthian letters to the church. He used the term Church of God And so you see by that there's other terms that can be used for a local group as well. It's interchangeable. And of course, a lot more could be said about that. But don't get tied up on that name, that it has to be called Church of Christ for a local group. Paul called them the Church of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, to the Church of God that is in Corinth, to those sacrificed in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that, well, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians aren't written to us because those aren't written to the Church of Christ. They're written to the Church of God, and that's some other group. No, he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the same group. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the Church of God that is in Corinth with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. So what we see here is that Paul is addressing a local assembly, a local group. And so this is just to be basic, a particular group of people in a local area who have banded together to serve God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 2 talks about to all the brothers who are with me, to all the churches who are in Galatia. So Paul's referencing here multiple works or multiple churches in Galatia. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who were before his throne. So Revelation, part of it anyway, was written to those seven churches that are in Asia. So you see that this phrase can be used in a universal sense, and it can be used in a more local sense as well. And so, knowing these things, this is the biblical way to view this word. And so, when we see how it is used in the Bible, we ought to note how sometimes it's used today in a non-biblical way. One way that it is never used is in reference to a building. Well, do we ever reference it that way? Does it register what it is that we're talking about? I think many of us know what the church means. We know that it means the people. We know that the church is the called out. We know that there's a church universal. We know that there's churches that are local. But when we drive down 119 and say, there's a church, there's a church, there's a church, there's a church. It's not true, is it? If we want to be grammar Nazis, we are going to look at that and we're going to say, that is not right. I'm not referencing that in the right way. It never refers to a building. No building is the Church of Christ. And I recognize that we do that, I'm not going to beat you over the head if I ever hear the term used that way, because you'd have to beat on me too. But what we need to understand is that's really incorrect. No building is a church. It's a place where a church comes together to meet. But we need to be clear about that. We need to have a clear understanding that Christ Church is not a building. It is a group of people. Another thing that the term church is never used to denote in Scriptures is a denomination. And do we understand what the term denomination means? Well, we understand when it comes to money what it is. It's been a long time since I've held a $100 bill, but I can remember it. And when I held that $100 bill, I recognized that was the denomination of something that was much bigger that I didn't have either. But if I took that $100 bill and I split it into five parts, I'd have five 20s, and I could split those 20s into ones, and I could split those ones into pennies. And so you're taking something that's big and you're slicing it up, you're dividing it into something smaller. That's what a denomination is. And that's what some people believe you can do with the Lord's church. But here you've got something big, and we're going to slice it and dice it. We're going to make it something smaller, and there's going to be all these parts that are divisions of the whole. Well, we understand what that term means, and we understand how it's applied. But it's not something that is found in the Scriptures. In Tyndale's Dictionary of Theology, it's described in this way: denominations are associations of congregations that have a common heritage. Moreover, a true denomination does not claim to be the only legitimate expression of the church. A denomination is an organized body of churches. And so what that means is you've got the Baptist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, and you can go on, and you see those types of groups scattered around, and they're part of a whole. You know, they've got some kind of local body that's over them, and they've got some national or worldwide body that has some kind of structure. So it's supposed that you've got this mid-sized organization that's smaller than the universal body, but it's larger than the local group. So you've got this tier effect. You don't see that kind of structure, that kind of organization in the body. And so when we say that we're non-denominational, it means that we're not part of any subgroup. That there's a universal church and there is a local church of people that have come together to be the body of Christ and to worship together. Do people have denominational attitudes sometimes? Do people in this congregation or other congregations that wear the name Church of Christ have denominational attitudes? We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But we need to remember that the church is not a denomination. It is a grouping of people that belongs to Christ. It's never a group of churches. It's a group of people. So it never refers to a building. It never refers to a denomination. It also never refers to an individual. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16, Paul gave an instruction to Timothy about how, you know, church needs are to be taken care of. And he says, but if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened that it may care for those who are truly widows. And so there's a distinction here between the church and the individual. You know, Paul is saying that there is the individual responsibility to take care of your family. And if the individual can take care of their family, then the church is not to be burdened with that. So sometimes people don't make a distinction between the church and the individual. And they'll say, well, anything the individual can do, the church can do. Or anything the church does, the individual should be doing. Well, that's not correct. Paul commanded here the individual should be taking actions that so that the collective church wasn't burdened with that. So there's a difference between me or you as an individual Christian and the group. So the church is not burdened with what the individual should be doing. There's more that can be said about that and other implications that can be made, but you just need to remember that point. There's a difference in the church and the individual. There's different responsibilities that I, as an individual, have that the church does not. That the church does not need to be burdened with. And that's why you see churches or groups of people not participating in some things that are good works. They may be something that needs to be done, but the church doesn't need to be burdened with that because the individual takes care of it. So when we look at all these things, what about the present day uses of this phrase, Church of Christ? And I kind of hinted at the point that sometimes people will use denominational terms or have denominational attitudes. So somebody says, well, where do you go to church? Or are you a Christian? I'm Church of Christ. Are you the Church of Christ? Well, there's a difference in the body and there's a difference in the individual, right? So you are not Church of Christ. It's not correct grammar. And it's just not the correct idea. So it's not uncommon to hear, this coming from our mouths, from Christians and non-Christians, like, well, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Church of Christ. Because trying to know what people are trying to do. They're trying to concisely define what it is that they, what they believe about the Scriptures. But a lot of times you end up giving a cross, well, I'm just another denomination just like you are. And I'm not part of your denomination. I'm part of this Church of Christ denomination. But we've already seen that's not a biblical concept. Or I'm a Church of Christ preacher. Or that there's some kind of Church of Christ doctrine. What does that mean? And what is doctrine? Well, it shouldn't be anything except what we find here in the Word of God. And so, I'm going to go by what the Bible teaches. I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel of Christ. I'm not a Church of Christ preacher teaching Church of Christ doctrine, because that's a denominational concept, and that gets away from the purity and simplicity of the Word of God. Or you hear about a Church of Christ school, or Church of Christ magazine, or Church of Christ radio program. It really kind of mirrors what you hear in the religious world and denominations. Well, I'm a Baptist preacher, I'm a Methodist preacher, I'm following Episcopalian doctrine. When you consider all of these phrases, it gets a little bit confusing. Is it confusing? It wasn't confusing at the beginning of the lesson, I don't think, when we were talking about what the church is, and it is a group of those who are called out. It's an assembly. It's those who are attached to Christ, and it is an assembly that is attached to Christ, an assembly of Christ. So it's very simple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 12, what I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And he doesn't follow that up and say, well, all those are good. They're all just part of the whole. They're all just part of the big conglomerate that we all call of Christ, and you can call yourself whatever you want and worship any way that you want. Now, Paul says, the one that needs to be followed is Christ. And the ones that are saying, I am of Christ, are the ones that are correct. I follow Christ. Follow the doctrine of Christ. And so, it helps us to remember that Church of Christ is a noun, it's not an adjective. It's something that, if we would remember to use the correct grammar on it, it would avoid confusion. If we really understand what it is that we're saying, take the time to say it correctly and to define it correctly. And if you're in the mindset that thinks that, well, we're just another group, just like all the other groups, then there's a lack of understanding on what it means and what it was that Jesus established when he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And I understand that, you may think, well, he's being so picky. And I understand that sometimes when we use the phrase, or we go down the street and say, well, there's a church, it's a grammatical goof. And I don't believe we will be condemned for using incorrect grammar, or there's many, many people that are in big, big trouble. On the other hand, we need to take care of this kind of speech because it really is an accommodation for believing something or exercising something or propagating something that's false and giving an incorrect perception. We need to have a good understanding of this. You know, a lot of people don't grasp this concept of mere Christianity. There's so many churches today that say, well, we're non-denominational. But what it means is they didn't put a denominational name on their church, but they're really still part of a parent group or a part of some kind of conglomerate. We are not some kind of Christian. We're not a Baptist Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Church of Christ Christian. We're just a Christian. Did the new disciples on Pentecost have to describe themselves as particular types of Christians? Now, on the day of Pentecost, there are two types of people. They heard the gospel, they heard Peter preach it, and after 3,000 were added to the church, there were people that were Christians and there were people that were not. They were either wearing the name of Christ or they weren't. And despite all the confusion in the world today, there's still only two labels. You're either of Christ or you're not. You're either a Christian or you are not. It doesn't come in different flavors. So let's not perpetuate your misunderstanding. But Randy, people don't understand when I say that I'm just a Christian. Well, if that's true, you know, let's not perpetuate misunderstanding. Let's try to teach. Use that as the opportunity to teach. You know, well, here's what I mean by that. And don't just say, well, you know, I'm a Church of Christ Christian, and move on to talk about football or whatever it is you want to talk about. What you have to do is ask yourself the most important question is, am I of Christ? Am I wearing the name of Christ? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 explains how to be of Christ. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and you are Christ, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So, very clear here that Paul says, if you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. If they were not baptized, then, you know, what's their state? Well, they didn't put on Christ. And so, this explains how to be of Christ. This explains how to be able to wear the name Christian. This explains how to be part of the church that Jesus established upon that confession that Peter made that he's the Son of God. So that's number one. We need to do that based upon our faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of our sins, just as those on the day of Pentecost were when they were added to the church. If you haven't done that, why not think about that and do that before it's everlastingly too late. I hope this lesson will be useful to you. If we can help in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.